We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
I missed it on Monday. Fill me in about it now. Oh, it's like I'm going to get to enjoy a Behind the Curtain on Behind the Curtain. I was out Monday, and there was a thing you guys did about ridiculous job requests at job that were kind of like above and beyond.
Right. It was like you're already employed, but then the boss says comes to you and goes, hey. Turns out an old lady just blew the bathroom to smithereens. Couldn't make it to the bowl. So, have fun.
Here's I'm an accountant, sir.
Yeah. And I was surprised, man. You'll hear coming up, the phone lines exploded. The text lines exploded. You know, sometimes we throw these topics out there and you don't know what's going to happen. And this one, man, it struck a chord with the listeners because there were so many times where you got hired to do X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And then the boss is like, hey, bro. Sorry to break the news to you, but you got to go out back and you got to, scrape up this dead raccoon. And you're like, whoa, I'm not dead raccoon patrol, you know, whatever it was. But there was a million different things that people were asked to do. And they basically were just like, nope.
I was following the tweets that day when I wasn't in. And there was one that I'm not sure you could spin off an entire new break.
Why are you doing that? Just take,
I should
just
unplug. I need to take my mind off it. I need to take
my mind off it while you're not here.
Oh, not the text, the tweets. F the text. I don't even read the text while I'm here. That someone had their, and you might have read this on the air, or their boss had someone make them follow his wife. That there was someone that I guess was just an office cubicle farm employee. And then the boss was like, I need you to follow my wife home from her yoga class to see if she's really going home.
PI action.
You're like, I'm working in sales, incoming and outgoing accounts, and you're having me be Columbo? Your wife? Like, come on, man. I'm not trying to get wrapped up in that. Well, hear about it now. I missed it. Can't wait to hear it when your boss asks you to do something that ain't in your job description. On Behind the Curtain.
98online.com, Justin Scott speaking. We got Rob Mayer here for Justin today. And we're talking about jobs that you refuse to do. Maybe you were employed doing one thing and then they come to you and say, hey, can you
also do this?
Yeah, can you also do that? No, that's not what I was hired to do. And we're getting a lot of text. This is unbelievable. A lot of them have to do with the bathroom.
Don't want to clean the bathroom?
Right. Which I guess I didn't really think about. It says, this one says, my boss wanted me to drive a big box truck to D.C. to make a delivery. I refused and have been on his S list ever since. I feel like I would do that.
Yeah,
I like driving. I like to get out of the office and you're on the road and just kind of put on some tunes, take the day, drive down, drive back.
But driving into D.C. can be stressful,
yes.
And with a truck that you're not used to driving and the parking. I get where that's stressful.
I worked as a dishwasher at a restaurant. Manager asked me to clean the bathroom. Sorry, I did not apply for toilet cleaner. Toys R Us, someone blew up the ladies' room. It was on the walls of the stall, and there was a trail on the floor because they didn't make it to the seat. They asked me to mop it up. Nope, nope, nope. That is from Angela. So you work at a Toys R Us.
Well, now they went out of business, so thanks a lot, Angela.
Next thing you know, you have to clean up poop. Are you saying yes or are you saying no?
Well, you think that they have someone that's their job, right? A cleaning person?
I mean, I guess if the cleaning person, right? If somebody has an emergency in the bathroom and an accident.
We can't wait.
And it's got to be cleaned up.
Well, then it's a one-off. It's not a regular thing. You just do it and get it over with.
That's what I'm thinking. This one says, I used to deliver pizzas. My boss at the time bought a huge mascot suit for us to wear outside and hold a sign. It was mid-July. I would have sweated my ass off. That was not on my job description. I politely said, hell no. I used to wear my old station, WGNA, the country station. We had a mascot. It was a bear. I don't know why. And they had a bear costume, and I used to have to wear the bear suit.
Heck.
And a couple times on...
That sounds like fun. That sounds like you'd embrace that.
And then a couple times we were raising money on, like, Thanksgiving, and I had to wear a turkey costume. And I did it. I did it willingly.
I delivered pizza for Domino's years ago. I refused to take any more calls because we were understaffed. I took the phones off the hook. Because they had a promotion. It's funny. I went to a Redskins game, and we have a promotion. Where if they score X amount of touchdowns, you know, you get...
Right.
And they scored like 56 points, and I'm like, okay.
Uh-oh.
But I had to work the next day, and I'm thinking, this is good, but now this is going to be bad for work. And people were just calling in and calling in. And finally, I just said, we can't keep up, and just took the phones off the hook for like a half hour to catch up.
I just got to go to the phones. We're going to continue. 410-338-1098. Has Whiskers been on hold this whole time? Whiskers has been on hold for like 40 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Whiskers. Nope, he's gone. All right, just want to make sure he wasn't there. Whiskers is our buddy. Have you heard Whiskers?
I have.
Yeah, he was on hold for like 40 minutes. We got a bunch of calls.
Almost made it.
Let's take one call, and then we'll take a break and continue the topic. Line two, we got Kurt. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good. How are you, man?
Doing all right. It's a Monday, but I'll make it through.
Yeah.
So I used to be a sprinkler man. The fire protection inside buildings,
yeah.
Not like the lawn sprinklers. And we were working out of Jessup near the prison right off of 175. And one of the rooms that we were putting one of our sprinkler lines through was called a skiff room. Basically, a bunch of data machines and computers and stuff inside that room. Well, in the wall, the interior side of the wall has this, like, metal mesh, kind of like diamond plate, but it's hardcore chicken wire, if you will.
Right.
Well, the helper that my boss had brought on to give me a hand putting all the stuff in had this 7-inch angle grinder with a hole saw bit on it drilling through this wire mesh. Well, once he punched through that wire mesh, the bit caught. And I don't know if you guys ever ran one. If it catches, you know, natural instinct, you're going to hold on. But his hand's flung, and it cut his finger on the wire mesh.
Oh!
Well, the guy was a hardcore alcoholic. Like, he would kill a fist going to the liquor store every day after work a quarter mile down the road and would finish the bottle. So when he cut his finger, blood just started pouring out of his hand like a Quentin Tarantino movie. You get a little paper cut, and it's spraying everywhere. Well, my boss came up to me, and he's got blood all over the walls, all over the floor. And he's like, yeah, you know, you got to clean that up, right? Or the PM's going to be real mad. I said, yeah, you can go pound sand. I'm not doing that.
Asked you to clean up blood. Wow.
Yeah, and it was a lot of blood. And I'm not doing that.
I think I'm with Kurt on that one. Would you clean up blood?
Well, no, that could be... It could be dangerous. It could be and get infected with something.
I install sprinklers. I don't clean up blood. Jobs you have refused to do. I'm trying to think back. I don't think I've ever refused to really just out and out said, nope, not doing it. I mean, I've had normal, obviously, like delivered fried chicken. Yeah. I delivered flowers. I worked for a florist one time. I worked at a supermarket. I had a paper route.
I mean, a lot of the jobs I've done were so bad that, like...
Right.
I would refuse to do them now. Telemarketing, you know, doing cold calling, selling. I sold water softeners, and I'm colorblind, and when you go in the home, you'd have to, like, take their water and put this, like, thing in it.
And then
depending on the color, you'd have to tell them where on the scale it is.
Right.
And I had to just guess. So, which was uncomfortable.
Somebody says you used to work for a junk removal company in the city. We were sent to public housing where the pit from The Wire was filmed. Walked into an apartment, property manager. The floor is alive with cockroaches. She opens a bedroom door and there's a strung out guy who just pokes his head out and stares at us. We walked outside, called our boss and said, absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm on their side there.
I agree with that as well. Line three, we have Eric. What's up, Eric?
Not much. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. You refused to do a job?
Yeah, I used to be a pool tech. I had a neighbor who owned a pool company, and I was doing him a favor working for him for a couple of years. And most of the pools you close, not above ground, they're in ground. You got to blow air through the tubes, and most of the pools you're closing are clean.
Yeah.
They got the right chemicals in them. They're clear. We went one particular pool, and it looked like the entire pool had gonorrhea. It was completely green. You couldn't see your hand more than 2 or 3 inches underneath the water. And I was the guy that was supposed to get on his stomach while someone blew air through those lines to watch all those green bubbles blow up in my face. And I absolutely refused to do it. I'm no longer a pool tech.
Wow. Yeah, but aren't you, like, you're supposed to clean pools? Like, that was what you were, that was your job.
Yeah, cleaning pools and balancing them. But, I mean, I don't remember signing up for cleaning pools that looked like they had gonorrhea and it was going to bubble in my mouth.
Oh! Jesus.
So, you're not a fan?
That's the whole bubbling.
Kind of gonorrhea that... bubbles in your mouth?
The old gonorrhea bubble in the mouth. Let's go to Baltimore Joe. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys, how you doing over there? Good morning, everybody, including the legend, Hannah.
Oh, the legend, Hannah.
Yeah, wow. That was legendary what she did. Legend.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, so you guys know I'm in pest control.
Of course.
And we do insulation as well. And I used to do that when I first got into the business, and I refused to go on any more attics and crawl spaces to do that. That is one of the worst jobs there is.
Get all itchy and sweat. Attics are hot.
Mm-hmm.
And
then yeah, there's the heat.
And then there's a little like fiberglass in there or something, and it gets like all sticky, sticks to your body. And it. Now, wait, I don't understand the whole pest control and insulation. How do those two things? So,
they also clean pools.
So with the insulation, with the attic insulation, there's a product in there that helps kill insects, and it also helps deter rodents like mice and squirrels to keep going into your attic.
Now it makes sense, Baltimore Joe. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jess. Hello, Jess.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I love your show. Listen to it every morning as I drive to work, which I'm doing right now.
Oh, where do you work? What do you do?
I work at Giant. I'm a seafood manager.
Ooh, seafood manager.
That's a job you're willing to do.
Crab legs, yo.
Yeah, well, I used to work at Taco Bell. That's my story. Part of my job was to clean the bathroom. And
Crab legs, yo.
And then found out that someone pooped and puked in the toilet.
See.
And it was clogged up. So they asked me to come in and clean it. And I told them no. My manager had to clean it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I'm the manager, I'm going to roll the dice and ask one of the employees first.
You're asking first.
Right,
yes.
You ask first, and you know it's a big ask, and you're assuming that it's going to be a no, right? So then Jess says no, and I'm the manager. I go, all right, I tried. You got to clean. As the manager, you got to clean it yourself, right?
Well, what if you do if you're the manager and it's like 6 and your shift ends at like 7? Can we wait it out and...
Let the next person come in. You have to take care of it.
Well, as I know at Giant, it all rolls down. So, if, like, they ask somebody and they said no, they ask the next person. And it just keeps going until someone finally does it.
So a customer does it for a free chalupa.
You're right. Yeah, you're going to get to the point where anybody...
Some nacho
fries.
As a
manager, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's that whole lead by example thing. And if you want... your employees to respect you. You do the job. You know, don't ask somebody to do something you wouldn't do, right?
Right. And look, you got some gloves on and a plunger. I mean, how bad is it?
Josh, you're a manager at a restaurant.
Hey, how you doing, Scott?
What's up?
Yeah, I just, we used to put incentives up. Like,
there you go.
Depending on how bad it was, you can get an extra $50 that night.
Smart.
Cash in your hand.
Yeah, that's so, a good way to do it.
We hired a lot of college kids. You know, so they always wanted extra money for, you know, beer and going out. So we usually had people lining up like, yeah, we'll take care of it.
To do what? You know? Now what, the bathroom you talking about?
Yeah, so, you know, it was a restaurant bar. So, you know, obviously when you have a bar situation, people got sick. If people threw up, you know, it was a baseline of $25. But as it got progressively worse, you could, you know, earn up
to $50.
I love
this. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's probably guys in there that were hoping there'd be an incident because they needed extra money for the night.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we'd have bouncers going in and out of the bathroom checking.
Let me ask you this, though. How did you know that they weren't going in there and making the mess themselves?
Smart.
And then, you know, cashing in on 50
bucks.
I mean,
I guess you got to just roll the dice that you got good employees that aren't going to, you know, disrespect you like that, but I never had a problem.
All right.
I've cleaned up my own puke 100 times.
Yeah, exactly. Giovanni.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Okay, so I used to work at a retail pharmacy some years ago, and the front end were always upset because the pharmacy didn't clean the bathroom. So I took it upon myself to tell the manager that when you get a college degree, like we all have, and a certification, then you don't have to clean bathrooms anymore either. And that was the end of that conversation.
Boom. Laid it on him.
Now, I like it.
I'm always curious about, can I ask you a couple of questions about the pharmacy people?
Sure.
So what degree, you have a degree in pharmacy?
No, I have actually a degree in biology and psychology.
Okay.
Okay. How long do you have to go to college to become a pharmacist?
Yeah.
Actually, you can get a 4-year degree to become a pharmacist.
Okay. Are you still a pharmacist or not anymore in the long run?
I do IV for people who have cancer. I treat oncology patients now.
Wow.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for you.
Is now, there good money in pharmacy?
I've always heard that, like, because I see the people that work at, like, I go to, like, the CVS at the Target, right?
Yeah.
And they're back there in their white coats, and they always seem like they're younger. I don't know why. And but I think they make good money, right? I always wonder.
I think so.
Is it good money?
Average, the pharmacists at retail pharmacies tend to make starting off around $114,000.
What? That's what I thought.
Starting off?
That's what I thought.
That's
so
great.
I'm standing there filling my prescription at the CVS, at the Target, and this person I'm staring at is making like $120,000.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all they're doing is taking an order.
Yeah, they're just putting pills in bottles.
Yes.
They're putting pills in bottles.
Have you ever thought about poisoning somebody?
Great question.
You know what? I
That's a yes.
That's a yes. Oh, yeah.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Time Machine Trivia Bet Payoff. We announced it on Thursday. We'll do it July 23rd, JS Estival, with the Glorious Sons, the Struts, your hosts will be there. You'll hear coming up, it's something involving a spray tan, a silly stencil. We got some great ideas from you, some nipple clamps. Do you want to get into the stuff we were talking about doing and couldn't do?
Just from piercing our nipples?
Yeah, that was a big one. We were going to do one where we were going to maybe turn to our friends at Black Lotus again, who did the testicle tattoos. And
I just remembered I had a tattoo on my testicle.
Yes, I remind myself daily as I sit down to make wee-wee. We were going to do that, but I think there's cleanliness standards in place.
Yeah.
Legalities where you can't do it outside of like a designated facility to pierce someone. So that one was done. I had an idea that we didn't do because of vulgarities where we're going to have who doesn't like finding their friend passed out at a party and drawing a penis on them, or even better, trace it on them, and maybe making one of us into a human penis canvas to where everybody on the way in got handed a Sharpie and you can draw a penis on them and they'd have to display the crowd's artwork.
A little
but
too
then you're
going to
go, it's a little vulgar, and that much Sharpie on your skin I don't think can be good.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to think, right? Like, this is, it's, you're out in public.
Yeah.
There might be kids there.
Uh-huh.
It's like,
don't bring your kids.
It's a concert. I mean, of course people are going to bring their kids.
Like, don't do it.
So yeah, we got to kind of be outrageous and shocking without being too outrageous and shocking.
Also, another, you want to really get behind the curtain. These are two great bands. And we talked to Luke. We talked to the Cats from the Glorious Sons. But this is still a serious concert for them. So they want to go to good. They want to put a good show on for their fans to where they don't need this thing to be a big old yuckstival ahead of time or anything that's going to detract from their show. So I think we figured out a pretty nice balance. You'll hear it coming up and you'll hear the efforts we need from you, how to help us pull it off with the stencil phrase during and then after the spray tan. We have our Time Machine trivia bet all set to go for the JS Estival. Hear about it now on Behind the Curtain.
And we have the Time Machine trivia. 7 o'clock news, 8 o'clock news. We keep score. And right now, Justin is up by 6, 82 to 76.
Yes.
And we have the JS Estival coming up on July 23rd, Meep Q Pavilion, formerly Pier 6, right downtown. It is the Glorious Sons and the Struts.
Tickets on sale now.
Tickets on sale now. And we're going to be hanging out all night doing fun, goofy stuff. And one of the fun things we're going to be doing is a mid-year Time Machine trivia payoff. At the end of last year, I won.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to shave Justin's head in any way I saw fit. I gave him the Infinibeard, the beard that went all the way up around his head. And it was one of the greatest things we've ever done.
I was almost sad to see the hair go. For a day, I dreaded it leading up. Tried to pay you off with like $1,000. Thank God you said no. You shaved it. It was the talk of the town. I'd forget that I had it. I would walk around places where they had no idea who I was or what I did. They're like, oh, there's a crazy person. Pull the kids close. And this year we've got something else.
Yeah, and thank you to the Maryland Army National Guard for presenting the JS Estival. Mm-hmm. We love you guys.
Oh, and thank you to Josh. Don't think I haven't noticed, you clever little Carl. The Time Machine trivias have gotten very creative.
Yes, well, you know, I want to keep management happy.
Yes, it's very important.
You'll be trying for ages. It's been good. It's not just a what's the year, what's the year. It's
right.
It's Which one of these isn't a way someone died? A simple yes. true or false. Sometimes there might be a three-parter to it. Finish yes. the lyric or sentence. So you kind of keep us on our toes. You keep us on the ropes. It's been just getting better and better. Tomorrow, a five-point Friday. Now with wagering. And we have the bet.
July 23rd, MeQ Pavilion, formerly Pier 6, JS Estival. We will take the stage.
Uh-huh.
And go ahead. Describe what the mid-year payoff will be.
Yes. It's going to be a two-parter.
Two-parter!
In front of a massive crowd.
Million people.
So many millions of people. The city will empty to attend JS Estival. Tickets on sale now. 99line.com. Click events. Scroll down. One of us, whoever loses, is going to get inside of a
spray tan booth.
Tent.
Portable spray tan booth.
Spray tan tent where you're going to get inside and you're going to get the full tilt, full, and I mean a dark, dark orange, orangey orange can. You're going to look like the annoying orange. You're going to get a very, very dark orange. All right, so you're just going to look like you spent time on the surface of the sun. Then there will be a stencil across that person's stomach. So after the spray tan is done, you will then peel that off to reveal a phrase. This person will also be in a Speedo for the remainder of the show. But Josh, we're not done yet. Because that person will then be placed into nipple clamps. And be led around by the winner for the remainder of the show. So you'll have this dark orange Speedo wearing goof, and then their nipples will be clamped down. And I showed you guys the nipple clamps. I've already purchased them.
I think we may factor in some sort of kimono as well.
There might be a kimono. So the loser will have to be embarrassingly pulled around like a dark orange nipple clamped gimp the rest of the show for everyone to laugh and take photos of. I might bring a ball gag. There will be a kimono to sort of have to wander around, like you said accurately, the coke dealer movie head with the Chinese companion at the end of Boogie Nights.
Yes,
prior to the robbery. God, what a great scene. But what we need your help with is the stencil. We want ideas for what, and you got to think, you've only got so much
space. It's
gonna
be kind of like that Tupac Thug Life tattoo.
Precisely. Right across the tummy. It's got to say something. We were thinking something along lines.
But we did it back when we had, Greg the Douche working here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He got spray tanned orange, and I cut out the word douche and taped it across his stomach. He got spray tanned, and then when we removed the letters, his pale white skin read out the word douche across his stomach.
What movie made this maneuver famous? I know you know.
What, the
dork. Remember when Lassar got sunscreened
yes.
and
yes.
he just had, he walked across yes. with dork across his stomach? So 410-338-1098, call or text. We want to find out what the phrase is. Josh, you're a wordsmith, as yes. loquacious as anybody in this building. What do you think? Mm. We bandied some ideas about yesterday, but like, there's obviously language restrictions. There's stuff we can't do. By the way, you want to find out what we can't do? Listen to Behind the Curtain this weekend. 6 to 10 on Saturday. We'll tell you about some of the ideas that the lawyers are like, no, sorry, can't do that.
So you're looking for a phrase.
Or a word. You know, you're probably more correct. Like a word, something very small, because, again, you're going to be dealing with about yay much real estate, and this thing's going to be so visible, because Scott's got olive skin, and I'm as white as Breyer's vanilla. But this level of spray tan is probably going to make our blood go toxic.
But what about bite me?
I like a bite me.
Ooh.
Bite me's
ooh.
Fun. How about
I was thinking like loser.
Dumb whore.
That's so harsh.
Yeah. But accurate. A lot of people are saying Justin's bitch, Scott's bitch. You know, we'd like to, but there's going to be a lot of photos. We're trying to soften up the image of JSS.
Clap cheeks.
Ask what my mouth do. What my mouth clap. What about if it's on the back and it says clap cheeks and it's pointing down at the ass? Like a little arrow pointing down at the ass? Clap cheeks could be fun. I like that. It could say bite me in the front, clap cheeks in the back.
Oh, damn.
Damn. Yeah, really get some stencil in there.
I might have it.
This is great. Hackman, all you've been doing is killing the game. Josh, what about our Halloween Spiegel stencil?
Oh, you know, I don't like the attention, really. I think, if you insist.
I kind of like the idea of the Spiegel pumpkin face, like a Jackasso lantern.
What about a big L on their forehead?
Another great one. Another great idea. Like, or a huge L on their back or chest or something like that. People are just saying, can you get a stencil of the winner's face? So if you win, I lose, there's a huge picture of me on your chest, or vice versa. I kind of like that. Someone says boy toy.
Yeah.
Someone also said boy. I'd like to. I can't use word. All right. Thank you, though.
Somebody says boner garage.
Someone is saying slut. I can't. Someone saying I heart. I can't say that either. I can't say I for money. I can't say any of that. Remember, guys, this is something that's got to be filled. Daddy's girl. Daddy's girl is so funny.
That's funny. Yeah.
I
clap
like
cheeks, daddy's girl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. All right. Keep the ideas coming. But July 23rd, it's going to be the MeQ Pavilion, JS Estival, myself, Scott, Josh, Struts, Glorious Sons, more stuff to be announced. MeQ Pavilion, love to see you there. Purchase your tickets and come watch at the beginning of the show that Time Machine Trivia payoff bet in action. And let me tell you what, boys, those nipple clamps hurt.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Tonight, Baltimore Comedy Factory, go see our new friend, Tori Hart, who stopped in, and she's beautiful. She's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I was...
You were smitten, little kitten, before she even came in here. You did your research.
I was smitten. Yeah, she's beautiful. She's gorgeous.
All right, I'm gonna ask you a hard question here. Her cameraman with the Bono glasses?
Yeah.
He was into me. He was into me.
He was, he was.
What about cloud air?
There was a lot of, I don't know, there was a lot of, what do you call it? There was something floating in the air.
My dad would have said, there's some sugar in that boy's blood.
No, I got that.
He was shooting me a wink.
In the air, there was a lot of, I don't know, like, it was just like, I don't want to know if it was like sexual tension. It just something. Because, I mean, you'll hear coming up, I showed her my, the tattoo.
Oh, yeah, she was eager to see it.
Down there. And she got like, she was verklempt. She was like, she was feeling the vapors.
Yeah, she didn't have a loss for words at any point during our interview with her until you unflapped your avocados and showed them to her. And she just locked up. What's really funny, and you're not going to be able to hear it, obviously, because we have FCC regulations. But her friend, Memphis Phil, just goes, "Bass!" The minute he sees it and says the full word, and we couldn't be mad because we're like laughing, because that is a genuine reaction to seeing someone who's got a ball tattoo. But we enjoyed her in studio. You'll enjoy her tonight at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. Comedian Tori Hart joined us. Listen again on Behind the Curtain.
Justin Scott speaking on 80 Rock, CanadianLand.com, Baltimore Comedy Factory. Tonight and tomorrow night. Joined in studio by the... Lovely. Pull this microphone very close to you.
Oh, yeah.
Pull it.
Cash money offer on those glasses.
Tori Hart.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tori.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, and who's this with you?
And I'm here with my brother, a.k.a. one of the funniest men I know. He's hosted for me all weekend. Give it up for Memphis Will in
Memphis
the building.
Memphis Will in the building.
Memphis Will. Welcome to 3800 Hooper Avenue.
Thank you.
Thank you for rocking out the Macho Man glasses prior to 8 o'clock even being here. When you rolled up, the first thing I noticed was before I saw you, I saw a cameraman. And then I saw another man. Okay. And then another man. I thought to myself, oh. She's got an entourage.
Yeah.
And then I see the glasses and I think to myself, that's a level of self-confidence I don't know. Cry in the shower. Turn the lights on when I touch myself. Even the cameraman behind you has got on some futuristic shades. You roll deep with handsome folks. Nobody's haggard in this crew. I'm not seeing gray sweatpants. I'm not seeing chapped lips. I'm seeing beauty.
And the thing I noticed is, and I, look, correct me if I'm wrong. I know nothing about fashion, as you can tell. But is that the 90s? Are the 90s back? like full on.
Yeah.
Aren't they back?
Yes.
Huge. Like
yes.
It's come back around. Those glasses are from, those are very 90s-esque. The neon colors. Yeah. And I love it. I'm all about it. I'm welcoming it back.
Yeah. This is my Miami Vice look. You see, yes, I got the wet hair going with it. I call myself Philip Michael Tomasina. I got it going. Because, listen, I honestly, the 90s have never left for me.
Okay.
So I just rock around in the 90s and the 70s, too. I love the 70s. I love the 90s. Those are my eras right there.
I love it.
As a matter of fact, those shades back in the day, if you go to the store and buy your parents cigarettes, for Newport, they gave you a pair of those for free.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if y'all
would issue you a pair of those. Like, the first time you took a drag off a Newport, a pair just appeared on your face. Like, yo, where did these come from? Like, you wear those now. Those are yours.
Are y'all saying I'm wearing blue glasses?
Yeah, you wear a Newport cigarette glass.
No.
If you change the hue of those to just pure dark black, those are the ones that the old people would wear in direct sunlight so they can still get around their garden.
Absolutely.
How would you identify the 90s now that there's such a resurgence? Because the 60s had this thing.
You do the murder mystery thing that you do, and you have...
Yeah, yeah.
What's the one you do now? You have a 90s
We have this. I do this 90s murder mystery comedy thing. Don't see it. See Tori Hart at the Baltimore Comedy Factory this weekend, baltimorecomedy.com. But it's hard to... That's what I was going to ask. It's hard to identify because the 60s, Flower Child, 70s, right. Disco, 80s, pure cocaine.
Ooh.
And then... But the 90s kind of shotgunned out in 15 different directions.
Right.
You had grunge music, gangster rap.
Yeah.
You had the boxy shoulder outfits. You had the Friends cast. You had the cast of Martin. You had all these different television shows and music pillars that all went in separate directions.
Very true.
Absolutely. So what do you think is like most iconically 90s?
You know what? For me, it was New Jack City. Okay,
oh, yeah.
I'd have to say New Jack City because that's when I first got exposed to Nino Brown. And you know that character. If y'all have ever seen New Jack City, like I thought I was Keisha in that movie. You know, like the Dutter Man Keisha, don't nobody say nothing.
I'm going to end up like Pookie. I'll tell you that.
Listen,
when the career goes bad, I'm Pookie. All right. I'm in the Enterprise and I'm shaking and I'm bringing that shit.
Like, no,
I don't want to smoke this pipe. I don't. Oh, God. It's so delicious.
Oh, yeah. New Jack City and they got... Who didn't want to sit at the head of that big, like, executive
right.
table? But then, like, in the suburbs where... And I grew up kind of, like, slightly rural, slightly suburban. It was all Nirvana. Soundgarden.
Yeah, okay.
It was the end of hair metal,
like
the beginning of grunge.
Yeah.
Tying a flannel around your waist or wearing one in 90-degree heat. Yeah.
That's when biker shorts came out.
Oh,
dude, guys was wearing biker shorts.
Suncoast,
sure were.
You wore Suncoast everything, cross colors everything.
Yeah.
Oh, that
Sergio
was awesome.
Ticini.
That's when you can wear overall twice in 1 week.
Yes. You just flip the strap on jumper.
Absolutely.
No, it's not the same pair. That's a different mustard stain. That's a different stain.
Yeah, Tori Hart, Memphis Will in studio. Baltimore Comedy Factory tonight, tomorrow night, BaltimoreComedy.com for showtimes. Tickets.
We have piqued their curiosity.
Yeah, they got really interested. Who do we have in here last week that didn't want anything to do with it?
Nothing to do with it.
But no.
Faison.
Yes.
We have Faison in here
Faison's
last week.
The best.
And he showed us the tattoo or whatever. We got to talking about it, and we brought this up, and he was like, I'm good.
I'll give you the backstory.
I don't need to know anything else.
Very briefly, and it starts mildly tragically. We had a producer who's no longer with us. Are you familiar with autoerotic asphyxiation, where someone will choke themselves while pleasuring themselves?
Yes.
He did it with a jump rope. Dies. And he had a testicle tattoo himself.
Okay.
That we made him get the first month of this show when we started 5-6 years ago, as far as one of the first things we did, say, hey, prove yourself to us, young one, and tattoo a spaceship on your balls. And he did it. And then kind of in his memory, after they found him, you know, swinging that attic, we said, why don't we honor him? And
hey, side note, he's actually alive. He just quit and got another job.
Yeah.
And,
okay. Because I'm like, y'all just so raw with it.
He's fine. He left and got a new job. We pretend he died because it's the only way we can deal with it.
And we said, in honor of your passing, Wink, we're going to go ahead and get matching tattoos the way we made you get a tattoo. We will now do it ourselves. And I can play you some of the audio of when it got done right here. Here's Scott getting his done.
Ah! 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 Ah!
And now here's me.
It's hard to breathe when you got a needle in your nuts.
Yeah, that was us.
Now, we were talking off air, now, Tori Hart, you have some tattoos.
I do, but it ain't on my vagina.
No, again. And you used numbing cream for the...
I did use numbing cream because I don't want to feel that type of pain.
Yeah. Did it work? Did you feel...
It worked. It was a breeze for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, we didn't use any of that.
No, we just screamed uncontrollably. Two large men grabbed us. Because you're familiar with that particular area. It's kind of weird and lumpy and topographical.
Yeah.
You got to draw it taut.
Yeah.
Taut.
Like the top of a drum. And so one tattoo technician, shout out Black Lotus, expanded the area. All right. Kind of like you're like stretching dough over top of a pie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other got to work. And made us do things like more tough. You could just not do that. That'd be great. I'd like to work here on Monday.
And, I dumped it.
Yeah, and Josh has sounded like
you guys think we're insane.
Yeah.
What's happening right now?
Would you guys ever consider doing that?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Well, I don't have balls.
What about on the
yeah, down there? Uh-uh. Closest? No.
Probably not.
You wouldn't spray paint a Ferrari.
Yeah.
So you had inquired off the air about.
But I'd like to see it.
Seeing them.
All right. Yeah. Scott? I mean, look, as long as I have express written consent here, and nobody. All right.
Live wire, if you could just please zoom in on Josh's face. If you could just zoom in on Josh's face. Oh, and there it is.
Wow. I'll go ahead and close my eyes.
Yes. Okay.
This is a great
one. I'm Twilight Vase on right now.
There we go. Oh, wow. There it is. Okay, Tori. And here.
I'm having trouble.
He's here.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, he's putting a wall. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Oh, God.
Balls to the wall.
Well, just know Memphis with our eyes is closed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
I mean, it looks good. It looks good.
It does, right?
It does. You I'm not even mad at it.
You're not?
No.
It's kind of tiny,
it
right?
It might kind of turn me on.
Oh.
Hey.
What's up?
I've never seen that before, so it's something new.
It's right. Kind of cute, isn't it?
I just
got a picture of mine right there. Just kind of for time's sake. There you go. See, same thing. There
we both got this matching.
Why don't you hand that to Memphis real quick? Just let him see that.
Oh, no.
I'll text that to you.
No, Memphis with eyes.
Memphis got his eyes closed.
Listen.
I'm face on love.
Oh.
And there you go.
I'm never speechless, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's going through your head right now?
The white boys do it. Y'all on a whole nother level with the things that y'all do.
Yeah, we have a capacity for self-destructiveness and pain that
I see.
Is almost inhuman. Yeah. Now, admittedly, again, you heard the sound. It's not like we really enjoyed the process at all. Horrible. What other tattoos do you have besides? You got the one on your wrist.
Yeah.
What's the boob thing you got going on?
Oh, so I got a tattoo when I was 17, and it was stupid, you know.
Yeah.
But I was in the military, too, so I used to be hardcore like y'all, you know, but never to that
You're
level.
Still hardcore. Right.
I'm still hardcore, but back in the day, I really was hardcore. Then I have one on my side, I got one on my lower back, and, you know, one on my leg. So I do like a good tattoo.
Yeah. Memphis, how about you, man? You got ink on you at all?
I got one on my left arm, one on my right arm. I actually have a brand. I'm in a college fraternity.
Man.
So
okay. Come on.
Brand
it.
On my chest.
You're talking about things that white guys do. This is nothing. Let me see the brand, dude. Talk about hardcore.
Yeah, I got that brand, but the brand ain't nothing like, you know,
are you
tattoo
kidding me?
On your balls.
Get
no way.
Memphis Will, that's way worse than a tattoo on the balls.
No.
Look at that.
Hold on,
it's like a horse shoe.
Yes. You.
Omega Psi Phi fraternity. See y'all at the show tonight.
Is that a you frat guys go hard with those things.
Is that a hazing thing?
No, you know, you get this once you cross.
Okay.
Yeah, so you finish the process.
Now, if you get that when you cross, what happens before, like as a pledge, right?
You know, we just learn our alphabets and stuff like that.
that's
a secret.
Let me explain the process of that. I've always been fascinated by these brands that you guys get. It's just a big piece of metal in that shape.
Basically, take a regular clothes hanger and fill up a pot on the stove with the iron, put some alcohol in it. They take that hanger, they shape it up in a horseshoe.
Right.
Put it in there. And as it's boiling at the last minute, They pull it out and light it on fire, and they put it by your chest right before it touched your chest. They blow the fire out, and then you can hear your skin going. Yep.
Why do that? Why would you do that?
You know, young and stupid, and shouldn't have done it.
Yeah,
you know
so badass.
Yeah, but it's a brotherhood, right? Isn't it a brotherhood? Too, so.
Yeah, but you don't have to get a brand.
Yeah, you could just shake hands.
a nice peck on the cheek.
I was never going to get the brand. That was all, I always said I'm never going to get the brand, but the three guys I crossed over with, they all got brands, like two or three of them. I said, okay, I do one because I am the ace of the line, so I said,
like,
I do
when we
one.
Got
what is the
our junk done, I was going to say, it hurt as the needle's in, then they withdraw the needle.
You're fine.
And the pain goes from a 9 down to about a 2. What is that feeling like?
That's got to be a suck. 10 out of 10.
Honestly, it sounds like it's at a 10. But it's really not, because you can literally, you can hear your skin burning like, and then when it hit, you say to yourself, wow, it's not that bad.
Because doesn't it just burn off the nerve endings? Like, that's literally, it. The nerve endings aren't there to transmit
pain. What about
pain?
The healing process, though?
The healing process is the hardest part.
Yeah.
Because when they hit it, it's just a 2. You don't feel nothing. Even when they finish, it don't even hurt. But once you start, you know, pampering that thing and it started healing.
Putting the cooling salve.
Alcohol, Neosporin, all that stuff.
You're more of a man than we are. These ball tattoos, though, are nothing on a brand.
I think y'all won, though. I think y'all won with the ball tattoos.
Yeah, y'all definitely won.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's giving us our next idea, Scott.
Is that it? Were you on brand?
We have to brand our balls. We have to brand our balls.
What happened?
But y'all have to pick a fraternity, okay? Y'all can't just brand your balls and not have a fraternity.
Lambda, Lambda, Lambda. That's what we're going with.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Shout out Revenge of the Nerds. It was a pleasure having you in this morning. Tori Hart, Baltimore Comedy Factory. My man Memphis Phil, fantastic. And thank you so much. Where can people find you online if they want to follow you, keep track of your career, everything you're doing?
Oh, you can find me at anythingtorihart.com. TORREI. Okay, that's my mama, not me. HART.
Very good.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
It could be macabre, but it could also be interesting. The burial. We found out Luke Perry got buried in a mushroom suit. Not a mushroom soup, as someone misheard, which I thought was hilarious. It's just a more kind of responsible, eco-friendly way to spend the forever. Instead of some big metal wood box or a cement tomb, you put someone in the ground and have mushrooms spring forth or have them grow into a tree.
Don't they throw them in that river, the Ganges, over in India?
Oh, man,
like that?
Don't drink or bathe in the Ganges, which people still do. Ain't good. Ain't good at all. The one that really blew me away, though, was the, and I'm sorry, I'm going to botch it. It was Neptune's something in Florida. Neptune's Memorial Reef.
Yeah, Neptune's Reef.
Look that up. That looks unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like a kind of like a man-made structure. It almost looks like a big, like, altar temple type thing.
Yeah.
And they mix up some concrete and they put your ashes in there and then they slap you on as part of it. And it just, the thing's going to keep continuing to build and grow as they, more and more people want to be, cremated and stuck onto this reef. And that's I don't know, man. I've been thinking about death more, but
you should.
I just think about the whole like cemetery thing, and like you said, it just seems so antiquated to me. I feel like back in the day where families didn't move around as much and it was a small town, and
yeah,
you'd be buried down the street and you'd go visit like every holiday and this and that. Like, I don't think my mom has been up to visit her mom on Long Island and like, I don't know. Maybe I'll ask her next time I talk to her.
Yeah, we have a bunch of relatives in Wimber, Pennsylvania. When am I going to go to Wimber? Wimber, yeah. PA? I'm not going to be able to visit my great-grandmother's tomb.
Like, I know you have your mom, right? You have, like, some of it.
She's
like,
all over the place at this point. I've just been spilling ashes for years.
But she's still with you, and you can, see her and check in with her because, you know, she's up there in an urn. So.
Sprinkle her on a taco. By the way, I got to stop down soon and get a fresh scoop. It's been a while since I refilled my mom.
But then a more creative, I mean, you'll hear coming up, it's like you can do anything nowadays. You can get shot into space if you want.
Yeah, Josh with the strong pull about the Hunter S. Thompson Gonzo bit where he was shot out of a cannon and had the fireworks and had the fanfare and they're playing Bob Dylan while he was playing. I mean, that's pretty badass. So, yeah, no longer does it have to be just cremation or a burial. There's a lot of other options, and some of them can actually be eco-friendly to leave a pleasant legacy if you were a son of a bitch while you were alive. We talked about alternative burials on Behind the Curtain.
Death. We all can't wait for it.
Luke Josh. Perry.
Oh, Luke Perry. Well, how did he have his arrangements? Lane Ford.
Oh, he was
buried in a mushroom suit, dude.
Oh, you were out for that.
I was not in. I was taking mushrooms.
He got buried in a mushroom suit.
Google mushroom suit.
This is the craziest thing you've ever seen. Now, I don't know the specifics. I don't think they even put you in a coffin. I think they just put you in this mushroom suit.
Yeah, that's right.
And they drop you in a dirt hole.
Yeah.
And then what happens is the suit lets your body decompose in such a way that your nutrients go out into the ground and it feeds the ecosystem around you, and mushrooms will grow and plants will grow, and the ground around you becomes this nutrient rich, and you dissolve back into the earth, and it's just the way it's supposed to be. The way if an animal dies out in the wild, it goes back into the earth in this mushroom suit. Expedites that process. Does that sound right, Spiegel?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, and if you got to think about it, we were kind of talking about this off air yesterday. We have a finite amount of real estate on Earth to bury people. We have what looks to be an infinite amount of people just popping out of one another.
Popping out.
I mean, we have 5,000 children born beneath bleachers in Essex a day. So why not do something a little bit more responsible? Like this mushroom suit. Another one of these that I've seen is the tree urn.
Yes, I like that idea.
Where you can have your ashes mixed in with some sort of mulch and seed, and then you place this thing in the ground, and a tree springs forth to where instead of visiting a grave, you could visit this mighty maple.
There's Dad.
There's Dad. And you cut that tree down, you throw it in a fireplace, and you watch Dad burn. And getting back to the mushroom suit, they say the type of mushrooms in this, I'll mispronounce them, so I'm not even going to try. But these mushrooms are the type that not only, like, clean the soil and are edible to certain animals, they filter the air.
Is it a nice chanterelle?
A chanterelle? Dated a chanterelle once. Big ass.
I mean, there's tons of various forms of things to do with your ashes. I remember one year we interviewed somebody where they would take your ashes and they put it in vinyl. Like you can pick like your favorite record or something, or they put it in a record.
Yeah.
And then you have like a vinyl record with your ashes in.
Because I was telling you, I had this turd boss forever ago at this job that he's no longer with us. You know where he is right now, Josh?
Is he dead?
He's definitely dead. He's in this huge, gaudy tomb. It's one of those big above ground things, like right in the center of a bunch of poor people's graves.
Like a mausoleum.
Exactly. When you walk into this graveyard where there's a grave the size of a chessboard and one the size of a slice of bread, here lies some dork, died of scurvy. And then, right in the middle of all that, you've got, here lies Oswald P. Cobblepot. He ran an ad agency. And it's just the biggest, gaudiest thing.
That's what Spiegel wants.
And
it's what you deserve also.
You know what?
You need to lie in state.
No, I think I would just be buried in a cemetery. But you know what gets me about cemeteries? Because I recently was in a cemetery.
People dig up corpses and make love to them.
Sometimes people will put a bench by the grave.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's like, how big does your ego have to be to put a bench by your grave? You think somebody's going to be spending all day there?
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of ego do you have?
Yeah.
So you're getting a bench, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
you're
yes. Okay. You're damn right.
And phone line's packed. Text flying in. 410-338-1098. 410-338-1098. Luke Perry from 90210. What was it? Dylan?
Yeah, Dylan.
90210. He had a stroke, passed away. And just earlier this week, he got buried in a mushroom suit. So it got us thinking, you know, like, is the whole just standard burial tombstone thing, casket, a little bit antiquated? Do you want to maybe mix it up a little bit? You got any ideas? What do you want to do when you kick the bucket?
Yeah, I've told you guys my idea, where I'm going to liquidate all my assets, fill an adult diaper with all the bills, put the diaper on, tie a $10,000 worth of helium balloons around my neck, just enough to really give me some nice liftoff, GPS transponder in the diaper, and you can go to a website called wheresbabyjustin.com, and I'll just kind of float across the landscape, and you can track me online, and wherever I land with my diaper full of money, it's yours. That's how I decide who gets my money. Evan, sorry, buddy, you have to fend for yourself. But I'm just going to have somebody have a nice little treasure hunt. Just watch me float above the skyline. Big fat diaper, all the vapor, all the balloons say it's a boy, because I am.
This guy Roy says, Scott, when you are buried, the wooden casket or any casket is placed inside a concrete tomb. You don't decompose into the earth.
Really? Are they all concrete? I've been to some funerals where they've done the lowering, and I'm looking down at
a dirt hole.
It's a big dirt hole.
The hell
hole.
Are you talking about, Roy?
Yeah.
They're not talking some sort of mausoleum.
No, I'm talking a hole in the dirt, as in under the dirt, 6 feet under. Yeah, I mean, there's certain places, yeah, where you go in the concrete, but...
Somebody, Austin says, cremate me and put me in some chili so I can tear my girlfriend's ass up one last time.
Oh. Come on, I like that.
That's good. All right. Let's go to... Oh, we talked about this place not long ago. Mary Belair, what's happening with your dead, bloated body?
I'll put it in a body farm in Tennessee and let the little CSI cadets figure out how long I've been dead.
Nice.
I like that.
Nice.
Yeah, donate it to a body farm.
Yeah.
What about science? Would you donate it to science?
It's funny you say that. Let's talk to Samantha on line six. Samantha, what would you do?
I would definitely donate my body to science. We were in a class last night talking about, we're a financial planning class, and we're talking about how the cheapest of funerals these days are about $20,000.
Yeah, you see our buddy Hackman, I guess he comes from a family of, like, morticians. His dad was a mortician. He says the cost of the embalming and the ceremony and the outfit and the makeup and all that, you're going to go broke.
Yeah, just, I don't know, man.
Ditch. Throw me down a manhole.
Seems better and better. And no, Luke Perry was not buried in mushroom soup. He was buried in mushroom soup.
Lower me into a vat of chicken noodle soup.
He was buried in mushroom soup.
Yes, Josh is going to be lowered into a nice matzo ball soup, Scott Italian wedding soup, and me some sort of shepherd's pie. Andy says, just beat someone to death with my corpse and then prop me on top of them in a winner pose.
Okay.
Very strange. Let's talk to Chris. I like this one. This is traditional. Chris, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. Hi.
So, all the things you've been talking about, like the funeral industry has really just become like a huge business.
Yeah, it's
and
a racket.
Most of that stuff
it's a racket.
Is just completely unnecessary because they're just preserving your body for eternity and it's supposed to dissolve into the earth.
Isn't a lot of it our vanity too?
Yes.
The vanity of the soon-to-be
dead? I think a lot of it is just our, you know, fear of the unknown, fear of death, wanting to preserve ourselves as long as possible.
I mean, this is nothing new, right? The Egyptians did this. They, tombs filled with your treasures, embalming and mummifying.
And your servants. They just bury your ass alive in there with your pharaoh to continue to care for them. What a horrible couple of days that must have been. And the blacked out darkness of a tomb as this pharaoh rots. And you're like, oh, cool. I guess I'll just hang out in here. Wait to starve to death.
He's right, though. It's a complete racket.
It's a racket. Let's go to Alan. What's going on, Alan?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Clap cheeks.
A special good morning to Spiegel.
Hello.
So I'm a diver, and Key Biscayne, Florida has a Neptune's Memorial Reef. It's a natural reef that they've created for burial sites and to have also marine life to thrive in an area that had no marine life. If you Google it, it's fantastic.
This is amazing.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God.
So what do they do with you? You're dead, and what do they do?
They take your ashes, they mix it into concrete, into a shape, or you can just put your name on a plaque, and they mount it onto either the shape that you decide, or they put it on one of the... other major fixtures that are already there, and you can actually pick your spot. The only way to see it is a diver. You have to be a diver in order to go see the burial.
That thing is freaking cool.
That is so badass. Okay, that's how I want to go. Sorry, it's expensive, but you're my friend, so you have to do it.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock. We'll be right back.
Coming up, you're going to hear a break we did about work dreams and some of the calls that you joined us with about the dreams you have at work. And it all stemmed from a conversation we had based off an article about Mortal Kombat, the new one, Mortal Kombat 11. And the game is just so over-the-top violent, comically violent, that some of the people that developed it and programmed it, it like screwed with them. And someone sent in a video. I got to give this guy full credit. Oh, his name is Pablos Escobar. Pablos underscore Escobar. I'm watching one of the new fatalities. I haven't had a chance to play the game yet.
And
this is the most brutal thing I've ever seen. You know what?
Well, that's the problem. Like, you just have to keep raising the bar.
There it is. Just describe what happens in this video as it happens.
All right, they're fighting. Oh, he grabs his face. He rips his face off.
Not done.
And he throws his face on the ground. Okay. Then he grabs his head again. Then he rips the front of his skull off.
Not done.
Then he's, oh my God. He stabs this big long thing into his head, takes the brain out, and then eats the brain.
What did you have to
study? That's like a four-part fatality. He grabs the face, rips the face off, rips the front of the skull off, stabs the brain out, and then eats the brain.
And you wonder why the developers at NetherRealm that made that game are shaking themselves to sleep and sweating through their PJs. Hear it now. Work Dreams on Behind the Curtain.
Yeah, Justin Scott and Spiegel on NetRock99.com. And
morning.
You were talking yesterday, late in the show.
Yeah, before we chips and dipped up on out of here.
About this video game. What is this video game?
Mortal Kombat is back. Mortal Kombat has returned. Mortal Kombat 11 is out, and it's like the hit fighting game. I might even be playing it tonight at the Friday Night Fiasco. Stop on by Horseshoe Casino, 8 to midnight. I bring my PlayStation with me. We have some fun. And by all accounts, this thing was getting amazing reviews. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but it's getting great reviews. But the calling card of a Mortal Kombat game is that it is gruesomely violent.
Finish him. Get over here.
It's beyond dark.
I remember back
dark.
In the day when you rip the dude's head off and his spine would be attached.
For bonus points, name the character.
I don't know all that. I'm bad with all that.
That would be Scorpion.
Is that the yellow guy?
I'll give you the points. Here's the yellow guy.
That's all I know.
Well, there you go. It works.
I wasn't that deep into the game.
Get over here.
And then he'd throw that spear at you and then pow, give you the uppercut. Well, there is a story that's come out from the developers, and this kind of leads to a larger discussion about work dreams. One of the developers of the game that said after working on the game, he would have extremely graphic, violent dreams to the point where this unnamed developer said, or programmer said, I kind of stopped wanting to go to sleep. I'd keep myself awake for days at a time to avoid sleeping, to avoid the work dreams I was having about making Mortal Kombat. It got to the point where the developer of the game says that he saw a therapist that diagnosed him with PTSD, contributing this to the work on Mortal Kombat 11. And he said at the programming house, the developer, he'd wander around the office same way you'll wander the Keurig machine, or Josh, you'll run downstairs to grab a bite, or, you know, Hannah will go outside and smoke a Tipperillo. You'd walk around the office and one guy would be watching hangings on YouTube. Another guy would be looking at pictures of murder victims. Someone else would be watching a video of how cows were slaughtered.
Yes, as you walk around the office, one guy would be watching hangings on YouTube. Another guy would be looking at pictures of murder victims. Someone else would be watching a video of a cow being slaughtered. And this was part of the development process of, like, the cinematics team. And they said that they would review violent animations in painstaking detail surrounded by gory reference material.
So you're watching people get decapitated and eviscerated and watching slaughterhouse footage all day long to make a f***ing video game.
And so you get it accurate, so it looks realistic.
Yeah. Did you read the one part where they would watch how liquid interacted with the ground or cloth. And by liquid, you know blood. They mean blood. The way blood would react to dirt, the way blood would react to carpet, the way if you got blood on your shirt, it's going to get dark, so it needs to react appropriately. And you steep yourself in this game you're making, and you have these dreams where, you know, the next thing you know, you're throwing fireballs at grandma or turning into a dragon and biting your child in half, or you're pulling a scorpion and your neighbor, who still hasn't given you back his weed whacker, you rip his head off with the spine still attached.
I mean, never to this level, but I've played video games for hours and hours and hours, and then you go to sleep and you dream about the game.
Yeah, you had Grand Theft Auto dreams.
Yeah.
And I remember you had GTA dreams.
Yeah, and you'd, like, be dreaming about the game. Like, you'd be playing, like, you wouldn't even be playing in your sleep. You'd be, like, in the game in your sleep.
I had a work dream not long ago, and it's one of those things where unless you write it down, the minute you wake up, you kind of forget it. But to get behind the curtain here a little bit, I'm in charge of moving elements around here on the computer. If you hear a song or something play underneath of Josh talking or myself talking or Scott talking, or if you hear the traffic bed play, I will move it around. Well, sometimes I look because I took my eye off the ball, and I've got like 4 seconds to do it. And if I'm quick, I can bing, bang, boom, drop, play.
You're always quick.
9 times out of 10. Sometimes I botch it. I had a work dream not long ago where everything in this system here was completely screwed up. And I'm double mousing it, trying to move the elements where they need to go. And I got you staring at me. I got you staring at me. I got Keith staring at me. And you guys are just waiting for me to hit the right bed. And the system won't stop updating. I can't get the thing in place in time. And I mean, I woke up in a tizzy. I woke up and my chest was wet. My butt was tingling.
Really?
My knees are all knocking together. My hair is damp. And I had a work dream. So coming up, I want to ask you guys about, you know, you have work dreams here, Josh?
I do.
Probably had the most labor intensive out of all of us.
We've heard his work dreams.
Have I?
I've never heard his work dreams.
No, I don't care about any other people coming in here.
There is one that I can tell you about that is, it's recurring. It's something similar to yours.
Right, all right. Like it's that whole like, they're always like something's collapsing right, in on you. Right. Like, ah!
Oh God. Yeah. You can never get everything lined up. It's the I Love Lucy candy scene.
Right.
But you can never get everything bottled up and packaged right. So coming up, we're going to do some sports with Paul Mittermeier. After that, take some calls from you, hear what Josh's recurring work dream is. Man, tip of the hat to you if you worked on Mortal Kombat 11. I thank you for your service, but by God, take a day off, go to the beach, relax, quit dreaming about ripping someone's spine through their chest.
Yeah, we're talking, do you have dreams about work? The guys that worked on Mortal Kombat, the new Mortal Kombat, one guy said he would force himself to stay awake for days because when he fell asleep, his dreams would be so horrific because they worked so hard to get these images so realistic, but they're gruesome images that they needed to reference real life references.
Oh my God.
Cows getting slaughtered, people being decapitated, and they now have PTSD and they have these weird dreams of these horrific, gruesome stuff.
One coworker told them that the toll of working on Mortal Kombat was eliciting horrible images in his real life. Josh, I'm sorry for this next part.
It's the dog.
When he looks at his dog, he just sees the guts inside of it. He couldn't look at his dog anymore without imagining all the gore and viscera. Because these people are studying footage of how bones break and muscle tears and blood splatters occur. And sometimes they're just turning to like horrible images and videos of violence against animals. So yeah, there's a real good chance you can't turn your brain off at night.
And this is a break about weird work dreams, right? We could easily hang a left and go, you know, how is this affecting the people that play the game?
Yeah, yeah.
Like kids and stuff, but let's not go there.
No, it's not walk
I'm a cop. A lot of people I work with all have the same work dream. I've dreamt that I was in a shooting and the trigger pull on my gun was 1,000 pounds. And no matter what I did, I couldn't pull the trigger. It seems to be a common dream for a lot of police.
Here's a more lighthearted one, but a work dream nonetheless. Becky, the Duchess of the Chick-fil-A. She says, I used to dream of the drive-through headsets beeping in my ear, and I would start panicking in my sleep because I couldn't answer the customer and no one was taking their order.
Wow. Oh, God, work is screwing us up. I used to operate a forklift, and I'd have dreams every once in a while, and I would dream that someone at work would flip a forklift and get seriously hurt. I have never witnessed one being flipped in person.
Ariel says, I'm always dreaming about sleeping in and being late to school or not going in at all, and I forget to get a substitute, so there's just no one in her class.
Nightmare work dream is me giving a PowerPoint presentation to executives at work, and my browser history pops up and starts playing a video.
No!
Quote-unquote video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We kind of had that happen here. Remember the other guy upstairs that was doing the early days of the live wire demonstration?
Yeah.
You saw one of the tabs on top. Were you there that day?
I think so.
Hannah, toss me a pen. I can't say it. Let me get that pen over there from you. Yeah, it was a...
You remember what is in his...
Oh, yes, I do. It said this phrase right here. Yep. That was one of the tabs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you didn't see anything, but someone leaned over and was like, did you see the tab all the way off to the right? I don't think we should be looking at that on a work computer. 410-338-1098. Let's go to the phones. Kim. Been holding for some time. Thank you for your patience. Kim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Oh, what are you dreaming
of? Oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to ask that anymore.
Look at you. She remembers.
Yeah, I forgot.
You remember.
Yes, I remember.
Good for you. What are you dreaming of, love?
Yeah. Well, I'm an English professor, and I dream that there's a class that I have, and I forget to go to it for the entire semester until the end of the semester.
And you don't get the credits, and you don't get to graduate, and you never get the degree, and you end up working at a friendly's.
I teach the class.
She teaches. She's the teacher.
Gotcha.
I teach the class.
Gotcha.
That's funny, because I do have a similar dream, and I think I still have it to this day, about being a student. Like, I feel like I forgot my... Like in college, you know, you have like classes at all different times and all different days. And I still to this day feel like I forgot a class.
There's one class you didn't go to.
I graduated and I got all my credits, but I feel like I shouldn't have. Or I feel like there was this one class that I just forgot to go to. And I was like, oh, man, like I haven't been to like math on Tuesdays in like 3 weeks or something.
And you don't get to graduate.
And I still have this. Yeah, and I get this freaking weird dream.
And let me ask you, Josh, you teased prior to the break, what is the reoccurring dream you have?
One is what Paul Mittermeier said about being late for work. But the big one for me is cracking the mic. That means opening, you know, I'm turning on the mic.
Crack the mic. Yeah,
so I turn on the mic and I can't get any words out of my mouth. Like, nothing comes out of my mouth. I voice it in my dream. I talk in my sleep, and I go, like, I just can't get anything out.
Really?
Yes,
That's weird to think of you, someone that's just as verbal and as communicative as you are, just getting that big lump in the throat. Yeah, I mean, I've had ones before where I'm like, and good morning, everyone, and we're glad to you today. Oh, sorry. Damn it. I'm out of a job.
Oh, man. Commercial exterminator. Some nights I dream that I'm covered in bed bugs, getting bit, and I wake up freaking out at 2 in the morning having to flip my bed over to make sure I don't have them. These are great.
Let's go to Blind Mike joining us on line one. Been holding patiently. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Morning.
Yeah, I've been retired from the government now since 2011, and I still to this day have horrible dreams about two supervisors that I just absolutely despised.
Hate dreams. Now, are you committing violent acts against
them?
It's more like they're just the way they are. You know, they're doing things that screw people up. I'm having encounters with them that are just unpleasant. So, you know, it's really weird that this kind of thing just still recurs. I thought maybe it was just me that was having this issue,
it's
but it
funny,
sounds like
because the term PTSD is so, you feel like it's so reserved for veterans of war, but it can manifest from all different
it's
types.
It's a traumatic event, right. And what is traumatic to one person might not be traumatic to another.
Post-traumatic stress. That could have been trauma to you, Blind Mike.
Could have had these sons of bitches riding your ass all day long, and you're just trying to do the best job you can, and they're treating you like a dirt ball.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but I had an issue with my dismissal there, and that which ended up in a discrimination lawsuit, which I ended up winning.
Did you get a lot of money? Did you get stacked? Did you get fat
stacked? I did
stacks?
Pretty well.
How much?
That's why I'm retired.
How many zeros? Sounds like a five.
Yeah.
Hey.
My man.
My dude. Get
Good
paid.
For you. Get
Let's
paid.
Let's talk to... Oh, this is a common one that I've heard there's an explanation behind this, but let's see how it affected Chantel. Am I saying that right?
I actually constantly have dreams of my teeth falling out. I'm a dental assistant.
See, I've heard that's a pregnancy thing. Is that true? That if you dream your teeth are falling out, you're a woman, it means you're pregnant?
Well, while you're pregnant, you can have dreams of that, but no. Dental assistants, it's common for dental assistants to have those dreams.
Really? You've seen some messed up mouths. Hey, can I ask you, have you ever seen anybody that's got anything, like, alive in their mouth? Like maggot gums?
I did once. I saw someone with a maggot inside of his crown, up inside of his crown.
Stop!
I've also seen people use weather stripping to put into their cavities.
Weather stripping.
Weather stripping in.
Let me ask you a question. Does the bad breath still affect you, or are you immune to it at this point?
No, it's got to be pretty bad for it to affect me, but I just put Listerine on a gauze and put it inside my mask.
Wow.
Tricks of the trade.
Yeah, no kidding. Hannah, weather stripping.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Josh blessed us on Friday with another horrible Spiegel childhood memory. Great reactions to it. You teased it, set it up, didn't oversell it. The rice dish.
That's right.
And what was peculiar about the rice dish was that it's not a dish, I think you heard Scott say this, it's not a dish you usually associate with getting you sick. Bad fish, bad shrimp, maybe spoiled vegetables, but rice seems to be safe.
Yeah, usually... I mean, I know in the past when my dog has had an upset tummy, the vet says, just have some bland boiled chicken with rice.
Yeah.
And then, he eats that on the floor and I eat some next to him on the floor.
But if you had to reenact the dry heaving of that night.
But I think we discovered during our conversation on the show that it probably was less the rice and more of something else that made me sick. So
give it a listen now and discover what that is as Josh blessed us with another horrible Spiegel childhood memory. Oh, and pay special attention to the sister. May I?
Okay.
And now, another horrible memory from Spiegel's childhood.
I had a sleepover at a friend's house, and his family ate dinner. There was a rice dish. Later, after I went to bed, I realized the rice did not agree with me.
What? Oh,
no. I felt nauseous and went to the bathroom. I felt like I was going to throw up. Normally, back home, when I vomited, my mother would hold my head over the toilet while putting her hand on my forehead and saying, "Let it out, Josh. Let it out. You'll feel better."
Let it out, Josh. Let it out. You'll feel better.
I woke up my friend and asked him to wake up his mother so she could comfort me during my vomit session. But my friend's mother did not hold my head over the toilet. She just stood in the corner of the bathroom with her arms crossed, obviously irritated that she'd been awoken. Fortunately, I only dry heaved, but the embarrassment and shame of that night still haunts me.
This has been another horrible memory from Spiegel's childhood.
Brand new, ladies and gentlemen. Entitled The Rice Dish.
Wow. Didn't understand it.
Who produced that?
I did.
That, good job.
Production value. You.
Very good job.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. I'm glad.
Great production value. Great story.
Mike's head was crushed when that dumpster lid was slammed on it by accident as he reached in to retrieve that condom. Man, that was really well done. And that sucks. You're looking for comfort as a kid.
Yeah.
You don't know what end it's going to come flying out
of. I thought rice was one of like the most agreeable things. It's kind of just rice.
Yeah, rice.
Was it like white rice? Rice?
The rice went bad.
It was like Spanish rice.
Oh, okay, maybe. Okay. Yes. Okay,
no
maybe
offense.
That.
Gotcha.
No offense.
No offense to our Latino listeners, but it could be a little bit spicy.
Yeah. And I think it was also a combination of homesickness. I was away for one night.
Pure anxiety. Okay. So you've already got a nervous tummy and you've got Spanish rice in your gut and that's some lady over there just staring at you like, are you almost finished?
Was that the first and last sleepover?
No. I slept over friends' houses in my own neighborhood. This was like a couple of neighborhoods away. But did your parents ever... what was your vomiting sessions like? Were you on your own or?
I don't remember my vomiting sessions.
Put your finger down your throat. That was my dad's. He would just stand outside there. He didn't like vomit, so he would stand on the other side of the door as I was in there going, hey.
Yeah.
Put your finger down your throat.
One of my sisters never liked vomit, and with her own kids even, she makes her husband deal with it, and she calls vomit. She can't even say vomit or...
What does she call it?
A metaphobia. That's a real thing.
She calls it eh.
Eh? Yeah.
She says...
Use it in a sentence.
The baby is going to eh.
You grew up in an insane asylum.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Coming up, you're going to hear a break we did about work dreams and some of the calls that you joined us with about the dreams you have at work. And it all stemmed from a conversation we had based off an article about Mortal Kombat, the new one, Mortal Kombat 11. And the game is just so over-the-top violent, comically violent, that some of the people that developed it and programmed it, it like screwed with them. And someone sent in a video. I got to give this guy full credit. Oh, his name is Pablos_Escobar. I'm watching one of the new fatalities. I haven't had a chance to play the game yet.
And
this is the most brutal thing I've ever seen. You know what?
Well, that's the problem. Like, you just have to keep raising the bar.
There it is. Just describe what happens in this video as it happens.
All right, they're fighting. Oh, he grabs his face. He rips his face off.
Not done.
And he throws his face on the ground. Okay. Then he grabs his head again. Then he rips the front of his skull off.
Not done.
Then he's... Oh my God! He stabs this big long thing into his head, takes the brain out, and then he eats the brain!
What did you have to
study? That's like a four-part fatality. He grabs the face, rips the face off, rips the front of the skull off, stabs the brain out, and then eats the brain.
And you wonder why the developers at NetherRealm that made that game are shaking themselves to sleep and sweating through their PJs. Hear it now. Work dreams on Behind the Curtain.
Yeah, Justin Scott speaking on 90rock90line.com.
And
we were talking yesterday, late in the show.
Yeah, before we chips and dipped up on out of here.
About this video game. What is this video game?
Mortal Kombat is back. Mortal Kombat has returned. Mortal Kombat 11 is out, and it's like the hit fighting game. I might even be playing it tonight at the Friday Night Fiasco. Stop on by Horseshoe Casino, 8 to midnight. I bring my PlayStation with me. We have some fun. And by all accounts, this thing was getting amazing reviews. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but it's getting great reviews. But the calling card of a Mortal Kombat game is that it is gruesomely violent.
Finish him. Get over here.
It's beyond dark.
I remember
back
in the day when you would rip the dude's head off and his spine would be attached.
For bonus points, name the character.
I don't know all that. I'm bad with all that.
That would be Scorpion.
Is that the yellow guy?
I'll give you the points. Here's right. the yellow guy.
That's all I know.
Well, there you go. It works.
I wasn't that deep into the game.
Get over here. And then he'd throw that spear at you and then pow, give you the uppercut. Well, there is a story that's come out from the developers. And this kind of leads to a larger discussion about work dreams. One of the developers of the game that said after working on the game, he would have extremely graphic, violent dreams to the point where this unnamed developer said, or programmer said, I kind of stopped wanting to go to sleep. I'd keep myself awake for days at a time to avoid sleeping, to avoid the work dreams I was having about making Mortal Kombat. It got to the point where the developer of the game says that he saw a therapist that diagnosed him with PTSD, contributing this to the work on Mortal Kombat 11. And he said at the programming house, the developer, he'd wander around the office same way you'll wander the Keurig machine, or Josh, you'll run downstairs to grab a bite, or, you know, Hannah will go outside and smoke a Tipperillo. You'd walk around the office and one guy would be watching hangings on YouTube. Another guy would be looking at pictures of murder victims. Someone else would be watching a video of how cows were slaughtered.
Yeah, oh. As you walk around the office, one guy would be watching hangings on YouTube. Another guy would be looking at pictures of murder victims. Someone else would be watching a video of a cow being slaughtered. And this was part of the development process of, like, the cinematics team. And they said that they would review violent animations in painstaking detail surrounded by gory reference material.
So you're watching people get decapitated and eviscerated and watching slaughterhouse footage all day long to make a f***ing video game.
And so you get it accurate, make it so it looks realistic.
Yeah, did you read the one part where they would watch how liquid interacted with the ground or cloth, and by liquid, you know, blood. They mean blood. The way blood would react to dirt, the way blood would react to carpet, the way if you got blood on your shirt, it's going to get dark, so it needs to react appropriately. And you steep yourself in this game you're making, and you have these dreams where, you know, the next thing you know, you're throwing fireballs at grandma or turning into a dragon and biting your child in half, or you're pulling a scorpion and your neighbor, who still hasn't given you back his weed whacker, you rip his head off with the spine still attached.
I mean, never to this level, but I've played video games for hours and hours and hours, and then you go to sleep and you dream about the game.
Yeah, you had Grand Theft Auto dreams.
Yeah.
I remember you had GTA dreams.
Yeah, and you'd, like, be dreaming about the game. Like, you'd be playing, like, you wouldn't even be playing in your sleep. You'd be, like, in the game in your sleep.
I had a work dream not long ago, and it's one of those things where unless you write it down, the minute you wake up, you kind of forget it. But to get behind the curtain here a little bit, I'm in charge of moving elements around here on the computer. If you hear a song or something play underneath of Josh talking or myself talking or Scott talking, or if you hear the traffic bed play, I will move it around. Well, sometimes I look because I took my eye off the ball, and I've got like 4 seconds to do it. And if I'm quick, I can bing, bang, boom, drop, play.
You're always quick.
9 times out of 10, sometimes I botch it. I had a work dream not long ago where everything in this system here was completely screwed up. And I'm double mousing it, trying to move the elements where they need to go. And I got you staring at me. I got you staring at me. I got Keith staring at me. And you guys are just waiting for me to hit the right bed. And the system won't stop updating. I can't get the thing in place in time. And I mean, I woke up in a tizzy. I woke up and my chest was wet. My butt was tingling.
Really?
My knees are all knocking together. My hair is damp. And I had a work dream. So coming up, I want to ask you guys about, you know, you have work dreams here, Josh?
You
probably have the most labor-intensive out of all of us.
We've heard his work dreams.
Have I?
I'm not,
I mean,
sure,
have I told
heard
you?
Any of his work dreams.
No, but
I don't care what any other people coming in here.
There is one that I can tell you about that is, it's recurring. It's something similar to yours.
Right, all right. Like, it's that whole, like, yeah, they're always like something's collapsing in on you, like,
oh God, yeah, you can never get everything lined up. It's the I Love Lucy candy scene.
Right.
But you can never get everything bottled up and packaged right. So, coming up, we're going to do some sports with Paul Mittemeyer. After that,
take some calls from you, hear what Josh's recurring work dream is. Man, tip of the hat to you if you worked on Mortal Kombat 11. I thank you for your service, but by God, take a day off, go to the beach, relax, quit dreaming about ripping someone's spine through their chest.
Yeah, we're talking, do you have dreams about work? The guys that worked on Mortal Kombat, the new Mortal Kombat, one guy said he would force himself to stay awake for days because when he fell asleep, his dreams would be so horrific because they worked so hard to get these images so realistic, but they're gruesome images that they needed to reference real-life references.
Oh, my God.
Cows getting slaughtered, people being decapitated, and they now have PTSD, and they have these weird dreams of these horrific, gruesome stuff.
One coworker told them that the toll of working on Mortal Kombat was eliciting horrible images in his real life. Josh, I'm sorry for this next part.
It's the dog.
When he looks at his dog, he just sees the guts inside of it. He couldn't look at his dog anymore without imagining all the gore and viscera. Because these people are studying footage of how bones break and muscle tears and blood splatters occur. And sometimes they're just turning to like horrible images and videos of violence against animals. So yeah, there's a real good chance you can't turn your brain off at night.
And this is a break about weird work dreams, right? We could easily hang a left and go, you know, how is this affecting the people that play the game?
Yeah, yeah.
Like kids and stuff, but let's not go there.
No, it's not walking.
I'm a cop. A lot of people I work with all have the same work dream. I've dreamt that I was in a shooting and the trigger pull on my gun was 1,000 pounds. And no matter what I did, I couldn't pull the trigger. It seems to be a common dream for a lot of police.
Here's a more lighthearted one, but a work dream nonetheless. Becky, the Duchess of the Chick-fil-A, she says, I used to dream of the drive-thru headsets beeping in my ear, and I would start panicking in my sleep because I couldn't answer the customer and no one was taking their order.
Wow. Oh, God, work is screwing us up. I used to operate a forklift, and I'd have dreams every once in a while, and I would dream that someone at work would flip a forklift and get seriously hurt. I have never witnessed one being flipped in person.
Ariel says, I'm always dreaming about sleeping in and being late to school or not going in at all, and I forget to get a substitute, so there's just no one in her class.
Nightmare work dream is me giving a PowerPoint presentation to executives at work, and my browser history pops up and starts playing a video.
No!
Quote-unquote video.
Mm-hmm, yeah, we kind of had that happen here. Remember the other guy upstairs that was doing the early days of the live wire demonstration?
Yeah.
You saw one of the tabs on top. Were you there that day?
I think so.
Hannah, toss me a pen. I can't say it. Let me get that pen over there from you. Yeah, it was.
You remember what is in his?
Oh, yes, I do. It said this phrase right here. Yep. That was one of the tabs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you didn't see anything, but someone leaned over and was like, did you see the tab all the way off to the right? I don't think we should be looking at that on a work computer. 410-338-1098. Let's go to the phones. Kim has been holding for some time. Thank you for your patience. Kim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Oh, what are you dreaming
of? Oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to ask that anymore.
Sorry. Oh, look at you. She remembers.
Yeah, I remember. Yes, I remember.
Good for you. What are you dreaming of, love?
Yeah. I'm a English professor, and I dream that there's a class that I have and I forget to go to it for the entire semester until the end of the semester.
And you don't get the credits and you don't get to graduate and you never get the degree and you end up working at a friendlies.
I teach the class.
She teaches. She's the teacher.
Gotcha.
I teach the class.
Gotcha.
That's funny because I do have a similar dream, and I think I still have it to this day, about being a student. Like, I feel like I forgot my... Like in college, you know, you had like classes at all different times and all different days. And I still to this day feel like I forgot a class.
There's one class
I graduated
you didn't go
and
to.
I got all my credits, but I feel like I shouldn't have, or I feel like there was this one class that I just forgot to go to. And I was like, oh man, like I haven't been to like math on Tuesdays in like 3 weeks or something.
And you don't get to graduate.
And I still have this, I get this freaking weird dream.
And let me ask you, Josh. You teased prior to the break. What is the reoccurring dream you have?
One is what Paul Mittermeier said about being late for work. But the big one for me is cracking the mic. That means opening. You know, I'm turning on the mic.
Crack the mic. Yeah,
so I turn on the mic, and I can't get any words out of my mouth. Like, nothing comes out of my mouth. I voice it in my dream. I talk in my sleep, and I go, like, I just can't get anything out.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's weird. To think of you, someone that's just as verbal and as communicative as you are, just getting that big lump in the throat. Yeah, I mean, I've had ones before where I'm like, and good morning, everyone, and we're glad to you today. Oh, sorry. Damn it. I'm out of a job.
Oh, man. Commercial exterminator. Some nights I dream that I'm covered in bed bugs, getting bit, and I wake up freaking out at 2 in the morning, having to flip my bed over to make sure I don't have them. These are great.
Let's go to Blind Mike joining us on line one. Been holding patiently. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Morning.
I've been retired from the government now since 2011, and I still to this day have horrible dreams about two supervisors that I just absolutely despised.
Hate dreams. Now, are you committing violent acts against
them?
It's more like they're just the way they are. You know, they're doing things that screw people up. I'm having encounters with them that are just unpleasant. So, you know, it's really weird that this kind of thing just still recurs. I thought maybe it was just me that was having this issue.
It's
but it
funny
sounds like,
because the term PTSD is so, you feel like it's so reserved for veterans of war. But it can manifest from all different
it's
types.
It's a traumatic event.
Right.
And what is traumatic to one person might not be traumatic to another.
Post-traumatic stress. That could have been trauma to you, Blind Mike.
Could have had these sons of bitches riding your ass all day long. And you're just trying to do the best job you can, and they're treating you like a dirt ball.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but I had an issue with my dismissal there, and that which ended up in a discrimination lawsuit, which I ended up winning.
Did you get a lot of money? How much money did you get?
Stacked, didn't you?
Did you get fat stacks?
I did pretty well.
How much?
That's why I'm retired.
How many zeros? Sounds like a five.
Yeah.
Hey.
My man.
My dude. Get
Good
paid.
For you. Get
Let's
paid.
Let's talk to... Oh, this is a common one that I've heard there's an explanation behind this. But let's see how it affected Chantel. Am I saying that right?
I actually constantly have dreams of my teeth falling out. I'm a dental assistant.
See, I've heard that's a pregnancy thing. Is that true? That if you dream your teeth are falling out, you're a woman, it means you're pregnant?
Well, while you're pregnant, you can have dreams of that. But no, dental assistants, it's common for dental assistants to have those dreams.
Really? You've seen some messed up mouths. Hey, can I ask you, have you ever seen anybody that's got anything like alive in their mouth? Like maggot gums?
I did once. I saw someone with a maggot inside of his crown, up inside of his crown.
Stop!
I've also seen people use weather stripping to put into their cavities.
Weather stripping?
Weather stripping in
Let me ask you a question. Does the bad breath still affect you, or are you immune to it at this point?
No, it's got to be pretty bad for it to affect me, but I just put Listerine on a gauze and put it inside my mask.
Wow.
Tricks of the trade.
Yeah, no kidding. Hannah, weather stripping.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Josh blessed us on Friday with another horrible Spiegel childhood memory. Great reactions to it. You teased it, set it up, didn't oversell it. The rice dish.
That's right.
And what was peculiar about the rice dish was that it's not a dish, I think you heard Scott say this, it's not a dish you usually associate with getting you sick. Bad fish, bad shrimp, maybe spoiled vegetables, but rice seems to be safe.
Yeah, usually. I mean, I know in the past when my dog has had a upset tummy, the vet says, just have some bland boiled chicken with rice.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he eats that on the floor, and I eat some next to him on the floor.
But if you had to reenact the dry heaving of that night.
But I think we discovered during our conversation on the show that it probably was less the rice and more of something else that made me sick. So
give it a listen now and discover what that is as Josh blessed us with another horrible Spiegel childhood memory. Oh, and pay special attention to the sister. May I?
Okay.
And now, another horrible memory from Spiegel's childhood.
I had a sleepover at a friend's house, and his family ate dinner. There was a rice dish. Later, after I went to bed, I realized the rice did not agree with me.
What? Oh,
no. I felt nauseous and went to the bathroom. I felt like I was going to throw up. Normally, back home, when I vomited, my mother would hold my head over the toilet while putting her hand on my forehead and saying, "Let it out, Josh. Let it out. You'll feel better."
Let it out, Josh. Let it out. You'll feel better.
I woke up my friend and asked him to wake up his mother so she could comfort me during my vomit session. But my friend's mother did not hold my head over the toilet. She just stood in the corner of the bathroom with her arms crossed, obviously irritated that she'd been awoken. Fortunately, I only dry heaved, but the embarrassment and shame of that night still haunts me.
This has been another horrible memory from Spiegel's childhood.
Brand new, ladies and gentlemen. Titled The Rice Dish.
Wow.
Didn't understand it. Who produced that?
I did.
Good job.
Production value.
You.
Very good job.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. I'm glad.
Great production value. Great story.
Mike's head was crushed when that dumpster lid was slammed on it by accident as he reached in to retrieve that condom. Man, that was really well done. And that sucks. You're looking for comfort as a kid.
Yeah.
You don't know what end it's going to come flying out
of. I thought rice was one of, like, the most agreeable things. It's kind of just rice.
Yeah, rice.
Was it like white rice? Rice?
The rice went bad.
it was like Spanish rice.
Oh, okay, maybe. Okay. Yes. Okay,
no
maybe
offense.
That.
Gotcha.
No offense. No offense to our Latino listeners, but it could be a little bit spicy.
Yeah. And I think it was also a combination of homesickness. I was away for one night.
Pure anxiety. Okay. So you've already got a nervous tummy, and you've got Spanish rice in your gut, and some lady over there just staring at you like, "Are you almost finished?"
Was that the first and last sleepover?
No. I slept over friends' houses in my own neighborhood. This was like a couple of neighborhoods away. But did your parents ever... What was your vomiting sessions like? Were you on your own, or?
I don't remember my vomiting sessions.
Put your finger down your throat. That was my dad's. He would just stand outside there. He didn't like vomit, so he would stand on the other side of the door as I was in there going,
"Yeah,
so put your finger down your throat."
One of my sisters never liked vomit, and with her own kids even, she makes her husband deal with it, and she calls vomit. She can't even say vomit.
What does she call it?
A metaphobia. That's a real thing.
She calls it eh.
Eh? Yeah.
She says...
Eh? Use it in a sentence.
The baby is going to eh.
You grew up in an insane...